The Prime Minister, David Cameron, has today posted on the official Number 10 Downing Street website a message of welcome from the Prime Minister to His Holiness. And it's very striking that in that message, David Cameron emphasises the contribution that all faith communities make to the well-being of the United Kingdom. And in particular, he wants to hear what a faith community can contribute to the well-being of Britain. And he says that we won't all agree with what the Pope says, but we have a lot to learn. And I think the fact that the government is so positive about it is really, really important. And the reasons of state for the visit are starting to come through more strongly now. There's been so much negativity from small groups who disagree with the Catholic Church fundamentally, that now what's coming through much more strongly is the sense that these are very significant historic days with a great deal for Britain to gain from them.
Do you think that message from the political leaders is filtering down, though, to the people in the pews, to people who may come and see the Pope?
I think the Catholic community has been dismayed by some of the hostility directed towards it by the militant secularist groups. But there's no question that in recent days that has been eclipsed by, for example, the Times of London saying in their editorial that the Pope's visit was important and significant and Britain should welcome it. And perhaps most interestingly, The Guardian, the traditional left-wing newspaper of Great Britain, also writing a leading article saying that the Pope was a welcome visitor to these shores. And I think that's the beginnings there. The leading articles in the top newspapers, the Prime Minister's word of welcome, the press conference and the activity by Lord Paton today, who's the Prime Minister's representative and the chief organiser for the government, all of these messages now are starting to get through not only to Catholics, but to ordinary British people.
Interesting also, isn't it, that the BBC, which has often been accused of having somewhat an anti-Catholic bias in the past, is dedicating also a lot of live coverage to this event.
Yes, I'd just like to say I disagree entirely that the BBC is anti-Catholic. If you know the BBC, as I do a little bit, you'll know that it's like making a comment about the Catholic Church. These institutions are so large that you cannot generalise. So I think that the BBC is making a big commitment, and so is Sky News. Very strikingly, Sky News is also doing wall-to-wall coverage. They're aiming to be Pope Channel for 4 days alongside the BBC. So all the major news organisations are giving constant coverage for the 4 days of the visit, and they are determined to make available to the people of Britain all the aspects of the visit. And that's a great compliment to the British media, the commercial media, as well as the BBC, that they wish to do this.
What has been the role of the church in the lead-up to this? You've also been working hard on the communications front, haven't you?
Yes. The church has been preparing for this visit for a long time. The difficulty we had with the administration of the actual visit itself was the change of government, the general election and the change of government. This was a major difficulty. The second major difficulty was that the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, that has responsibility for state visits, took time to realise that the state visit of a Pope is different to a state visit of the President of Ruritania, because the President of Ruritania does not have tens of thousands of people who wish to turn up to public events for prayer and mass. And so it took time for them to understand that this was a much more complex visit than an ordinary visit of a head of state. So those preparations certainly were difficult, but they've now smoothed out the difficulties. The second difficulty for Catholics has been that to get to Coughton Park for the beatification of John Henry Newman, you've got to leave your parish at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and then wait for a couple of hours. So this has been a big deterrent. But we're still going to find over 50,000 people are going to turn up to that. And I think we're going to find over 80,000 people turning up to the Hyde Park vigil here in London. So the preparations have certainly had difficulties. I think those difficulties are now ironed out. The communication strategy has been exceptionally interesting because the National Secular Society, the British Humanist Association, one or two individual lobbyists who are militant secular atheists have been organising strident campaigns against the visit, saying it's a disgrace that it's a state visit and so on. But this has now led to a backlash. So just yesterday, another branch of humanists, launched an attack on the militant humanists, saying that they were now betraying the values of enlightenment and reason by the extraordinary demonization of the church. And they specifically cited they are portraying the church as an international paedophile ring. And they said, how ridiculous, how unenlightened, how irrational to greet it like that. Say, whatever your criticisms of the church, you're doing no service to the values of rationalism when you attack the church in that way. So we're seeing a major turnaround now. And I think we're building up to a very exceptional sense of excitement with the Pope's arrival. And that image of the Pope with the Queen in Holyrood House and the state welcome will, I think, immediately turn the whole nature of the visit.
An interesting picture into which the Pope is stepping to talk about the role of religion in public life today. What kind of message do you think people want to hear from him here?
I think they're not sure what they want to hear from him. But I think that the government is clear that they would like him to explain how a faith community can be a positive contributor to the well-being of the United Kingdom and the well-being of the world. I think that there's no question that the desire to build a multi-faith Britain is very strong in all the political parties, and they know that faith communities are going to be a very important part of 21st century Britain. So they'd like the Pope to be a role model of a religious leader who explains faith as a contributor to the common good. And the politicians are very much picking up that great Catholic social teaching of the common good. And, of course, it matches the Prime Minister's vision of a big society, which he was promoting in his election manifesto. So I think it's clear what the politicians want to hear. I'm not sure what ordinary people want to hear. I think they want to hear a word that is humane, a word that is promoting the humanity of everybody in this country. And I think also the theme that the Pope's going to propose himself, I think, will touch them, which is that faith is not a problem to be solved, but a gift to be explored. And I think what's going to be very interesting is to see when he moves into that more specifically religious dimension, away from the purely moral, how will very secular Britain respond to that, that faith is not a problem to be solved, but a gift to be explored? That's going to be the interesting part.
You talk about very secular Britain. Some say it's the most secular country almost in the world today. How do you explain, perhaps, the interest that there has been or that there is in this visit and also in the other things that you've been part of, this television series and your books and so on about spirituality?
Well, I think precisely because Britain is undoubtedly one of the most secular countries in Europe, I think there are other countries in Eastern Europe that are more secular. But I think that The when you have a country which has turned its back on religion, of course, you will immediately have an upsurge of interest in spirituality because that dimension of humanity cannot be suppressed. So while Britain may be the least religious country in Europe, it is also the most likely population to say, I'm spiritual but not religious. And so there is that spirituality, whatever we mean by that term, which is a fruitful field in which to plant the words of a truly humane religious understanding. And given the teaching of Pope Benedict in his encyclicals about hope and love, and the last one, Caritas in Veritate, those three are, of course, the great explanations of the humane nature of religious faith. And I think the spiritual but not religious population of Britain may resonate with his message more than they realise.
Finally, he's not, of course, the first pope to visit these shores. Pope John Paul, back in 82. Where were you in 82?
Well, I was in the monastery. I watched most of it on the television, I have to say. I wasn't there with these enormous crowds. I think I was rather put off by the enormous crowds. And I'm rather pleased that the crowds for these events are going to be smaller. And Archbishop Vincent this morning in the press conference said that, you know, there was quite a conscious decision to try and improve the quality of the events, both from the point of view of the quality of the religious experience and in terms of the organisation by keeping them smaller. I mean, somebody said to me, who went to one of the papal masses, you know, at Coventry Airport with Pope John Paul, that, you know, at what point, you know, what number is the limit at which you can say you've actually attended Mass. When there are 200,000 people, you see a helicopter arrive, and then on the big screen, which is near you, you see the Pope saying Mass. And around you, lots of people chatting. You've kind of lost interest because they've been there for 3 hours by now. So all of that, I think, shows that those big crowds, let's not romanticize that. Some of that was not that brilliant, whereas I think these smaller groups could be.